Afternoon, everyone. Good to see you guys. We'll go ahead and get started. It looks like we got most folks here. We do have Ryan and Esther joining us today, just because we're talking schedule, and they've been taking a lead on starting the process and beginning to think about and craft the schedule. Don's just joining us, to just kind of hear about it. Wanted to just call out that we're trying to be intentional this year and have Ryan as the middle school representative and Esther as the elementary representative be involved in the schedule creation. So there is not that the approach has been imbalanced in the past, but just making sure that we've got a balanced approach to looking at the schedule and kind of just the viewpoint from both middle school. So that's going to be our primary agenda item for the day. And we've got a little slide deck that we can go through to discuss and get some feedback from you guys. There's also a couple other agenda items that if we have time, we'll get to. If not, just want to ask everyone in advance to be prepared to potentially have a flurry of meetings at the end of the year so we can get all this stuff hashed out going into the summer. So my guess is we'll turn around and have another meeting a couple weeks from now after we've gotten an initial round of feedback and ask you guys to talk to your constituents to get us some more feedback. Another agenda item that Carmen had suggested last week is to revisit the discipline policies and procedures at the end of the year, which I think is a great idea. So I just wanted to say that I'm going to engage with Linwood and see what we can do to just get some messaging out there and have folks share in morning meetings and advisement, just reshare what our expectations are. So we kind of close the year revisiting them and hopefully position ourselves to start strong next year. Does that all sound good? Okay. Thank you. Then we'll just dive right into the deck that we've got around the schedule, and we'll go from there. I cannot minimize. Oh, can
Drew? Do you want me to share?
Yeah, because it's saying I can't minimize my window if I'm recording, and I didn't have it pulled up quite yet. So let me enable sharing for you, and then if you wouldn't mind.
No problem. All right, how we doing, everybody?
Do you need me to take notes if you're recording and have a presentation?
I don't think so. I mean, we can just have the recording serve as the minutes if everybody's comfortable with that.
Okay, just want to make sure.
All right, everyone. So as the admin team's been engaging in scheduling, now that we know our bell times for next year, or at least we know more pieces to the puzzle, as Drew said, Esther and I are kind of spearheading some of the conversations. But as a full admin team, we've been talking about the schedule. And since we actually have a little bit of time to discuss things, the focus of a schedule and when you create a schedule is really around this visual, which is vision and logistics. One thing that Esther and I have been chatting about together is, on one half, you have the vision, you have the ideas and the philosophy of our school, and that should be represented in what we spend our time on. When you look at a schedule, you should get a sense of what a school values, where it puts its resources, where it puts its priorities. And so that's the vision aspect. And that's something that we have valued in this conversation and have reached out to several different groups, SLT included, and we'll have more reaching out with you today about that vision piece. The other side is the Tetris game. It's the logistics. And certainly this year for COVID, our Tetris game has had way more rules and way more different procedures that we had to follow in the past. And so fortunately for us, I think next year, at least our plan is to have a Tetris game that's a little bit more standard. And that's the part that Esther and I will get down to. And it's ultimately just where do all the pieces that we value fit? And so we just want you to remember, as we're talking about schedule, that there's the two major aspects to it. There's the philosophical vision, and then there's also the logistics of how the puzzle pieces. So Esther's going to share some of the puzzle pieces we know.
Yeah, so these are some of the things. We already know that our school will start at 9:10 and end at 4:10. So that leaves us with 420 minutes. then there are some requirements in elementary school which we are supposed to have. So the first thing is everybody needs a lunch, or everybody has to have lunch for 45 minutes. And then 45 minutes ELD, that is required, it's non-negotiable. And then 45 minutes of special time. And during that time, it's also planning time for teachers. So that leaves us with the rest of the minutes, which we have to allocate for content. So being left with these minutes, these are the minutes now we can play around with. And we can determine where, like when to teach some subjects, but also we are thinking about what is our vision, how much resources we have in the building so that we can support the instructor. So I'll pass it to Ryan.
Yeah, and the fun part about it, an ECE through eighth grade school is that those requirements need to open for a middle school day. And so similar, a 45 minute lunch. And so we have to be intentional about everyone can't have lunch at the same time, which I think you are all aware of. But the middle school requirements are a little bit easier. Actually, the 45 minute ELD should be included down there. And that's my fault for not including it. But an ELD requirement for those students who need ELD, at least one planned period for teachers. And then just where things are falling based on our resources and staffing and our school structure is a six period day. So four content classes, ELD, and a specials class. And then students who don't need ELD would have two specials. At least that's, I know that that's traditional. It's what was happening for a long time here. And I think something similar like that will be where we land based on the resources we have available as far as staffing. And then Drew has some puzzle pieces for now.
Yeah, do you want to pause for questions or comments, or you guys feel free to just unmute? We can't, you know, see all your faces, but ask any questions you have.
So Ryan, with these six period days, do the ELD students also now get an elective?
Yep.
Okay, and so then the ones who are not ELD, are they going to have two electives, or what's going to happen with their extra period?
Yeah, that would be the idea. And then they would have two electives.
Are you guys going to touch on kind of what you briefly discussed as the vision piece of the schedule? Like what's the big vision and what are we really trying to focus on as we build those logistics, as you said?
Yeah, I think David, we'll share out kind of what was shared by the staff, what was shared by the ILT, and then we have some questions for SLT. And then I think at the end, we can kind of summarize some of the things that we're prioritizing. We'd be happy to do that. We kind of right now want to share out just to start a little bit backwards in the idea, but sharing out some of the things that the staff has named as things that they value in the schedule.
Yeah, I would just reiterate, we're not talking a vision that we're crafting behind closed doors. It's really just, you know, what do we collectively value as a school? What's the feedback that we've gotten from the surveys, from ILT, from you guys? And then those inform the priorities. So it's, you know, you could look at it through the lens of priorities as much, or values as much as.
And the other thing that's come up in my conversations with my constituents is having like a homeroom so that there is, a time to do, social emotional learning. And we don't need 1.5 hour advisory periods, but, you know, something that happens on a regular basis, you know, like a equivalent of a homeroom, not necessarily first period, but sometime in the day where, you know, every teacher, this is, you know, what some people have been telling me, you know, every teacher, regardless of what they teach, has a homeroom. So we can get it down to like 15, this is middle school, but so we can get it down to like 15 kids and you can have a meaningful 20, 30 minutes with them doing a lesson, a social emotional learning lesson, or touching base and, you know, making sure that they're keeping up with their work, helping troubleshoot things. But that's been, you know, people like the advisory, but, you know, the hour and a half structure doesn't work. But, you know, if we can fit it in where it's not taking away from content time, it's not like, well, you teach, you know, you have to do it in all of your classes on your own, like have a focus time where there's one teacher, you know, who's keeping an eye, you know, helping these kids and being a mentor for these kids. But on a regular basis, a short period of time that can be focused. That's just comments that I've heard from a few teachers.
Hey, Ryan, can you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean by ELD is gonna get a second elective? Like In the past, what has happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's been a smaller group of middle school students that we teach, the elective teachers teach, while the ELD kids are having ELD. And that was kind of a reward for the kids that are, or reward or what, I don't know what you want to call it, but for the kids that were not in ELD. And then we had our regular elective course of students, which was a larger class. So are you saying something's going to be different from that?
I'm saying that if you, right now, the idea is, you know, the schedule for a kid would be 6-period day. And so if a student needs ELD, that would be 4 content classes, ELD in the specials class. If they don't need ELD, it would be 4 content classes and 2 specials. We haven't gotten to the point of breaking down the schedule logistically wise to see what classes we need for all of that and what resources we have. So it's just from the kid lens, you know, there would be a need for a class to be scheduled. And so it wouldn't be ELD for the students who don't need it.
I want to say something regarding the middle school and the past, and something I am totally opposed to. I want this to be really taken into consideration. There was a class to put students, probably because of the conflicts with scheduling everybody to where they needed to be. There was a class created called Leadership or something like that. And I used to see students who were newcomers standing in the lunchroom doing their leadership class, and all it involved was cleaning tables. And that's something I saw. Maybe I didn't understand the real rationale behind this. Another one is sending middle school students to lower academy classrooms to be helpers. But in my opinion, if I was the mother of any of those kids and I knew my daughter was being sent to clean up the lunchroom, well, you can only imagine what I would. I would totally go against the situation, because I don't see any academic growth or intentionality on placements like that. So I want to invite everybody to please think about this, to be very intentional when we create whatever needs to be created to fill in all the spaces for middle school schedule. Thank you.
I had a couple questions that I had heard from a few teachers. Do we know what the teacher workday is going to look like? Is it 9:10 to 4:10 as well, or is it before that?
The contract day, I think most likely will be 8:30 to 4:30.
8:30 to 4:30.
Or potentially 8:40 to 4:40.
Okay, but somewhere in that area. I just wanted to make sure. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in the past, I had taught a specials class, and I was wondering if that was still a possibility, and if we're doing a 1 specials class kind of thing. Is that a possibility for teachers to teach an extra specials class if kids are interested in it?
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Ryan, I'll just jump in and try and speak to Carmen's comment and Travis's. I think we're open to possibilities, creative possibilities, things that kids and teachers want. We're definitely not going to be asking kids to clean or help or do something that's beyond that. You know, I'm still learning about middle school schedule construction, but if we have gaps to fill, you know, we're going to do everything we can to fill them and with things that you know, first and foremost, kids want to be engaged in, and also, you know, that teachers are interested in teaching as well. We can transition to the next slide, because one of the bullet points I have to share kind of touches on something that Chris brought up. Ryan, if you want to move us forward. Just going to go through some other puzzle pieces or announcements. I'll start with the second one because it touches on what Chris was bringing up, which is the district's rolling out a new social emotional curriculum next year. It is a requirement. It's a requirement for all middle schools. So it's, I don't know much about it. I'm going to go to a session, I think a week from Monday, to learn more about it. But it's a full-on curriculum that gives teachers something to have in hand to teach. And I'm really hoping that it addresses a lot of the prevalent needs that we see that our students have and a lot of the skills that we hope to teach them. So Chris, right then and there, you're going to have a curriculum to use during those times. We are also applying to be part of the rollout for elementary as well. They're going to select 20 schools to do an early rollout next year for elementary. This will be mandatory at some point. If it's not next year for elementary, it would be the following year. But we really are hoping to be able to roll it out school-wide, to support with common messaging, common language, common approach. And so just wanted to let everyone know that we'll have a standardized, structured curriculum for our, I don't know if we're going to call it advisement, but for that time that Chris is speaking to in middle school. And then if we are accepted into the pilot, and I really think there's strong reason for us to be as a K-8 school for elementary as well. The first bullet point, there's a lot at play. I'll try and summarize it in a nutshell, but essentially the district's made some decisions on virtual in-person learning next year. There will be no live streaming, so I'm happy to share that. Live streaming will not be part of the equation for anyone. There is a virtual option for families, but it will be centrally run at the secondary level. They're basically going to expand Denver Online School and for middle school and high school kids. And at the elementary level, it will either be centrally run or regionally run. And so essentially what that means for us next year is the kids who we have, who we're teaching next year, will all be in person. We won't be live streaming, and we won't have teachers that have peeled off to teach virtual learning. There are some budgetary implications for that. Agreed, Elvina, that's a big yay. But you know, there's some long-term implications. What they're going to do next year is for the amount of kids who families slash kids who choose the virtual option, they are going to they're going to have that funding follow those kids. So when I first read that, I started to panic because that meant that our budget was going to be negatively impacted. But what they're also going to turn around and do is use stimulus funds to hold schools harmless, kind of like they did this year. So essentially what that boils down to, and you know, this isn't really a nutshell, obviously, but is that any of our students who opt for any form of virtual or remote learning will not be with us, and we will not be financially impacted by them leaving. The district will hold a spot at PlaceBridge for those students for 1 year. And then after that year, they'll kind of see, you know, do they want to return? I don't know what's going to happen. Some kids might just continue down the remote path because it works better for them or their family. But for next year, we will most likely see a decrease in students without a decrease in budget. And so, you know, it'll be very interesting to see how that flushes out over the long term. But that's what we're looking at for next year. I'll pause briefly for any questions on that bullet point. Allison, that kind of stuff, I'm not sure. I think they're going to get back to allowing for larger class sizes and all this. My thought is that a lot of the restrictions that we've operated with will go away. But some of that stuff is TBD. I do know, just for PBA specifically, that on our February family survey, we had 140 families indicate that they would like to be remote next year. I don't know what the grade level breakdown is, whether it's elementary, middle, I don't know any of that. I know that we had 140 families that said in February that they would be opting for virtual learning. So that would translate into 140 of our kids not being with us physically next year, and also us not instructing them. My sense is that number will go down because that survey was given out in February, just when the vaccines were just starting to kick in and the conditions were different. And so I'm making an assumption that that number will go down. How much, I do not know, but my guess is we're still going to have maybe 50 to 100 students slash families that opt to join the virtual academy. I think there were some questions. Great question, Carmen. It is my understanding that there will be no back and forth. Family, it will be very clear to families that if they choose virtual academy, they are choosing it for the year and they are not allowed to bounce back and forth. They don't want that disruptive element for schools to be part of it. I also know that families will be asked to make this decision in May, so pretty soon. And then they'll be asked to commit to their learning preference for the entire year. So, you know, so that could have a potential impact on you know, the number of kids we have in the building and this and that, and maybe even some middle school scheduling implications. But, you know, the good news is what I'm happy to share is just no live streaming and no kids bouncing back and forth between virtual and no negative impact on our budget, at least for the next school year. So I'll pause again real quick there.
I know this is maybe stuff that people don't know, but does that apply to center programs as well?
That's a great question. Will you send me a follow-up email, Travis? Because I'd like to ask that question for your benefit. And I don't really know. I'm assuming yes, because if they're going to offer these options to families, they can't not offer them to, you know, center-based program families and kids. But I don't know if there's like some additional folds at play there or whatnot. That's probably a better question for Robbie Elliott than me, but we should find out.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'll keep going here. Breakfast in the classroom, we intend to continue that this year. We feel like there have been some great benefits around just not having, you know, all the kids in the cafeteria and having to manage the transition and some of the challenges that come with that. And it just allows for kids to get off to just a more calm, focused, structured start of the day. And so we'd like to get some feedback from you guys and your constituents around, you know, maybe what that could look like. But we would really like for breakfast, for us to just continue to take the approach that we've taken this year, because it just feels better in the morning. And we're hoping that that translates into to just some improved instructional experiences for everybody involved. That's an example of something that we were forced to do this year because of COVID, but we might want to consider continuing. We'll talk lockers in a little bit and get your feedback on that. But there are a couple things that we discussed that we felt like we should possibly continue. And then finally, early dismissal. Our ask for early dismissal this year is going to be every other week. We wanted to balance not taking too much time from kids because we know learning loss has been real for them during the pandemic. But because of our bell schedule, we absolutely need time. We need time to plan. We need time to do professional development. We need time to come together as a staff. And so, so that's our intent. If you think about, you guys know this better than I, but if our bell times are 9:10 to 4:10, we sure as heck aren't getting anything done after school. And if our start time is 8:30 or 8:40, we're not getting anything meaningful done with respect to PD or deep planning before school either. So I just talked to our OS today and basically was just like, you know, we got shafted with our overall bell times in the buses once again. So you need to prioritize us for this and give our teachers some offstage time to do their thing. And so, you know, we can get into more specifics later in terms of how that time would be structured, but I just wanted everyone to know that they were asking for that every other week, half day early release for the aforementioned reasons. And Kathleen, correct me if I'm wrong, but I went ahead and asked for a Friday because of athletics, because it was my understanding that any other day would be problematic for our kids in sports.
Yeah, that's correct, Drew. Fridays are so hard for our kids. And with our past schedule, it just worked that I told athletics no games or no practices on Fridays. So, yes, thank you.
So I'm sorry if I can speak to this very briefly, I promise. The fact that it's been decided and we don't have any power to change it. And it keeps bothering me for many, many years. We have fought to get the change of schedule. And once, before I remember to you mentioning the equity aspect of this for our student population, this wouldn't be happening on a white school. We all know that. And I understand they refer to the fact that we have a large number of students as a justification. Still, I don't understand the math on this. They could possibly even treat the school in two different schedules for older students and elementary, to try to accommodate the buses. I don't understand. In my mind, it's like a negative to our school historically. And I think we need to really do something more about this to make a change. If it's not possible this year, but we need to come up with a plan to make it happen. Because I don't see any fairness on the fact that Kathleen has mentioned this before many times, our students cannot participate on many of the activities after school. It's totally not fair.
Yeah, not arguing with you at all. I have some thoughts on that, and I don't want to derail us too much. What's been communicated to me is that because we have the most buses of any school in the city, that logistically there's no way to put us anywhere but the end. But I don't have the spreadsheets and, you know, the algorithms or whatever they're using. I got my hopes up. I thought we could change it. They were, you know, I had some meetings with senior leadership and the head of transportation and yeah. And at one point I thought it was going to change. And then it didn't. So I got knocked down into the same frustrated place that you guys have been for years. I think, you know, we can pick this back up down the road. And I think the best thing to do is start to work through the community and galvanize the community somehow to speak for this, because I know DPS a lot of times will listen to parents more than they'll listen to their own employees. And so, and perhaps we, you know, we work through the board. You know, I'm not saying that I want to let this conversation die. I'm disappointed like you guys that we couldn't get it changed. And maybe we don't truly understand why they can't pull it off logistically. I felt like they heard us. They heard me. I would like to think they're not just sitting there and smiling and then turning around and being like, whatever, and doing what they want. They're telling me that logistically they can't swing it, because they also tried to, Katie, but they don't have the degree of buses we have. Again, I don't understand all the logistics, but they tried to also change bell times to push older kids back and younger kids up and do all this stuff to allow for different, you know, age levels and learning styles. And we're a K-8 that has all of them. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you beyond that. It would be tough to split, you know, to on our families to split our school up into two. I'm going to suggest that we, you know, that we pick the conversation back up early next year and try and think about how to attack it from some different ways. And I'm sorry that I couldn't get it done.
So going on the things that we do know, I know, you know, David had kind of asked about sort of the vision, and I think our goal is to, as much as we can, listen to the staff. And so some of the ways that we have elicited feedback from the staff, is so far has been to have a survey. And so these are the kind of the big takeaway survey results from the staff at large. So we had 21 responses. And one of those was a special teacher. I talked to the specials team representing the entire team. So it's actually more teachers, more staff who have responded. And you know, you can kind of take a look at these were the themes that showed up and some commonalities that appeared several times. And some of the things that I think we as an admin team, when we looked over what the teachers valued, what we're going to try to the best we can make work. So from an elementary school side, you can see some of the heavy things that were named. And I just want to call out a few things that we know we're going to continue. So there was a desire for tiered ELD blocks. I think that is across the school, both elementary and middle school, is what we would want and what would be the best case for our students. Homogeneous groupings based on language level is the best for ELD. We couldn't do that this year simply because of the logistics and the restrictions of COVID. And so just naming that will be the way we will do an intentional planning for all of our ELD, classes, at least, you know, all of the classes where we will have a kind of a breakout ELD. There was a named desire for an intentional intervention block, and we've done some conversations around what that may look like. And there's still a lot of unknowns with that. But I think it is something that as an admin team, because we heard it very strongly, we don't just want to do an intervention block for intervention block's sake, but we want to be very targeted about what our approach is and very strategic. And so those conversations are kind of starting, but you know, expect that to show up in some form. And then we'll talk more for both middle school and elementary school around morning meetings and advisement. And then we will call out science and social studies time. There's still, for the middle school side, there still is, while there was a generally more support for kind of the traditional schedule, you know, like six periods over the course of a day, shorter periods that you see kids every day. Block scheduling did have support. It was not overwhelming. It was a majority for traditional, but it is something that I think we can, you know, we want to make sure that everyone, we know where the staff is sitting. With that, we know 100% that there was too much advisement time. Again, that was a logistics of COVID and how we had to schedule things this year and how we had to allocate for SEL time, but knowing that we were going to have extra time. And then kind of scheduling and maybe directly in our scheduling day, but we know also affected with transportation, the conversation we just had, certainly there's been a call out for a desire for club and enrichment opportunities. And so I think there's ways we can explore that. And then the bottom two, just remembering from a global context, you know, that logistical Tetris side, every grade mentioned at some point they wanted their specials at the end of the day. Every group kind of named wanting to have their planning either at the beginning of the day, the end of the day, or connected to their lunch. And so, you know, just know that the idea of we will do the best we can to logistically things work, but ultimately, you know, we can't have every staff member, you know, on a plan time from 3:10 to 4:10, because we have to have staff in front of students. And so, you know, just knowing that, like, we hear that, we know what a good schedule looks like for a staff member, we know what a good schedule looks like for a student. And so we're going to do our best to make the puzzle pieces fall so that the academics are the priority, and understanding that, you know, happy staff, happy students is the best thing. But sometimes the puzzle pieces don't fit exactly the way everyone wants. So I can pause. If these weren't the only things, these again were the thematic things. I can share the survey results. And if I haven't with SLT, I'll gladly share it with everyone after the meeting so that you can read everything. But these were the big takeaways. Are there any questions about that?
I just had a comment. I did an informal poll. I got it somewhere on my notepad, but I went around to all the middle school teachers, and it ended up being about 50-50 for block versus traditional. And everyone
did you ask the specialist teachers? Just curious.
No, I think I just went down the halls. I probably didn't, but I went down. So
or special ed.
I did. I know I talked to somebody there. But, you know, I went up and down the halls and whoever I could find, you know, I asked them a few questions and tabulated it. But of the, you know, the teachers that I see up and down the halls here, it was ended up being about 50-50. And then there was a number that were kind of ambivalent, like myself. I could go either way. But I just put that out there because, you know, there were only 21 responses to the survey. So
right.
I just adding more. So, I didn't get all the voices. No.
Yeah. I didn't hear from you either, Chris, but my vote on block schedule would be no.
Yeah, the entire special does not want a block schedule. That's 8+.
Yeah, it probably doesn't work with, you know, just you don't have enough time in the day to have block schedule special.
Well, and also it's about the kids. They need more, you know, time to see all of, I mean, we see all the kids. Yeah. And to put them in a block schedule doesn't make any sense. We wouldn't get to see half of our kids.
And with that, affect the fact that, as you said, students can have all the specialist teachers and a major gain that we fought for in the school was to be able to integrate students into different groups, like language groups or ethnic groups. Because at the beginning, we had newcomers interacting only with newcomers. And we fought for so long and we worked so hard to be able to integrate students. And that's why the way we do it, it's mixing everybody in the same grade level. And I'm explaining this again for Drew because he didn't, maybe he wasn't here, but just to make sure how important this is for a community. This is the only opportunity my students had to interact with students who speak English only. And I would not like to see that going down. So we need to set this as a priority. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm just one person, but, you know, the block schedule does make it kind of difficult for me like to get push in services or pull out services for kids. You know, obviously this year's a weird year, but the block schedule is a little different, especially when we're running an alternate schedule that doesn't match the block schedule. So just another thing for consideration.
The block schedule too, for me, has always made more sense when we had almost 1,100 kids and 12 to 15 electives. So you had a diverse palette of things for students to be able to access. You had more ability to be able to access them in a block schedule format, more equity, given the fact that we're down 350 students and 4, 5, 6 teachers now. It seems like it would be a real stretch to try and make it equitable for students.
And that was one of the things, you know, with the current block schedule we had, is that the students who were in ELD did not get a special. So, if you did that, that was one of my criticisms of the block schedule, is that if you have it, you know, you've got to make sure that everybody has access to all the specials and the enrichments and the clubs and things that are there.
Yeah, I agree with Chris. I think it's important that the kids see all the specials, like we said, our traditional schedule, just to help build that community. We build relationships with all those kids. Some of our specials teachers coach in the building, and for Mike and Christine, the performances they do. I think it's best for the kids to be able to have that opportunity to be around all the specials, to have an opportunity to be with different specials, as well as the middle school continue to pick who they want or what special they would like to go to. I just think that's real important. This year was really tough on the specials teachers. And I feel very blessed because I was chosen to be in the middle school. I know my colleagues in the elementary have had a really, really hard time. And I almost feel so bad about that. But I've explained to all of them, it wasn't done intentionally, but I just think splitting us up was horrible. But I understand that it was because of COVID. And for us to be able to get back to some normalcy next year will be a lot better for us and the kids, I think. I mean, it's really not about us as specials teachers. I'm talking more about our kids. They need this. They need to see David and I teaching together. They need to see Mike and Christine doing their drumming and their musicals and, you know, the art teacher putting, you know, doing all the things for International Night and taking the kids to try and win the awards for their art projects, etc. I mean, and the new STEM program, the lab, I hope we get to use the small room where the television is. I don't know what that room is called, but David and I were already talking about maybe, you know, live streaming the basketball games and the volleyball games from the gym and letting the parents be able to see that. That's just a plug for our kids more than anything, is to let them be able to have that opportunity with the teachers that see everybody. Like Carmen said, it used to be, you know, we had to split the kids up and they didn't get any time with anybody else. And I think it's very important moving forward that our kids have that opportunity. Thank you.
And great, you know, they need to be exposed to many different electives. You know, they need to have an art, and they need to be exposed to music, because they may not know what they really like. They may discover that they're great artists and want to pursue that in high school. So, you know, I think in middle school, being exposed to as many different electives as possible has, you know, great benefits.
Yeah. And Chris, I mean, one thing that's difficult, and I definitely concur with Kathleen, as a specialist team, we just were talking about how this year was so hard, as Kathleen said. Not being able to connect together and support the kids the way we've had successes. And even within our same subject areas, we have diversity of content and offerings. And just being able to get the kids an opportunity, like you said, Chris, to be able to experience all these different things. And we just feel like we need the ability to give those students those opportunities as in an equitable scheduling. And I just think the block schedule creates more challenges in order to get us there, given the number of students we have and the number of teachers and number of offerings. And then if you look at some of the teacher survey results, not only did the teachers in middle school specifically pick traditional, which I don't know if all those numbers included all the specialists or not, because we are all middle school teachers too. But as well, it puts us in a position where the collaborative planning time that people want, we don't get to have that for another year in a row, or we don't have as many opportunities. And then that connects down to assemblies and performances. Assemblies and performances go because we have that collaborative planning time and we're able to get students involved and have them take accountability for those things. And then I would even add athletics. I mean, the amount of students who have lost athletics this year, lost performances, lost the ability to express themselves. And I just, you know, everything's important here. But if we put students first, I just believe that we really need to think about the implications of those access points and opportunities for our students in connection to all the programming, not just English, math, science, history, and connect the dots the best we can.
Yeah, appreciate the feedback around foreseeing, you know, challenges with a block schedule for specials. And, you know, just to reiterate, like, you know, we all support giving those opportunities for students and having the ability for students to receive specials. One of the biggest frustrations, and I'll just name it individually, one of the biggest frustrations for me this year has been the lack of ability to offer that to the students. But the reality was is that based on the logistics that we were given way back in July, it was absolutely impossible to do anything. And you know, I'm sure you know many schools have had the issue of what we can offer this year. And so I think the positive for next year is there's a lot of opportunities to offer more, and you know, how things shake out. And I think it's good to hear the feedback around why there would be a concern for block scheduling as far as the way that would look for specials.
Ryan, I have a question. And you're saying that you guys were given the requirements back in July to come up with a new logistic entirely for the school. And it's more than a question, a request. And I seriously believe that teachers need to have some input. I am not saying, I know the administration has the authority and the power. I'm not trying to be invasive of your faculties and responsibilities, but I honestly believe that many of the decisions that were made, and teachers, obviously, I understand we were all hiding in our own homes, right, because of the pandemic, but it would have been a different feeling if we had some input on so many decisions regarding placement of teachers and the entire logistics. And I understand the more people get involved, the more difficult it is to come up with a solution. But and somehow I am requesting some more transparency on decision-making at the school and more involvement from teachers. Thank you.
I had a quick thing just up, Ryan, about the tiered ELD and intervention block. I think I had heard you guys talking about putting more of the STLs in the classroom. And I feel like those have historically been the people that were then creating kind of that tiered support for the ELD block, as far as being able to make, you know, the whole grade go into smaller groups. So just as you're thinking about staffing, if there would be a way to kind of replicate that for an intervention block, just wanted to throw in that plug. I think that would be great. And I know I've heard that from as well.
Yeah. Thanks, David. And I know that's been a, you know, something we've been talking about a little bit with the ILT and with the admin is the idea of which STLs would be kind of classroom teachers, which ones would be allocated as intervention. And then also just remembering that we still have ELA resource teachers. So I think all of those together, David, one of the things that Esther and I are having conversations about and, you know, want to hear feedback from everyone is that idea of how that looks. And so again, you know, naming that intentional and smaller groups based on the resources of teachers that we have, totally get that.
So if we have early dismissal every 2 weeks, what are we going to do on those Fridays? Are we, you know, because if we use those Friday mornings and just have 30-minute classes, that's kind of very productive.
That's actually a good segue into our next line.
We're getting there. There's some feedback from.
Yeah, that's one of the places we want to get feedback from you, because we want that time to be meaningful, but it's also an opportunity to do things a little bit differently. And so, you know, that's a place where we could, you know, it's the last bullet point on the side, but, you know, we could explore some additional assemblies, performances, additional social emotional learning time. You know, there are different things we can do. We don't know. That's one of the things, one of the areas where we want to get feedback from you guys. And so it's just a good connection to this last slide, which is kind of what we would like to, oh, sorry, skipped a slide, getting ahead of myself. All right, this is Esther's slide, and then I'll talk about places where we're going to get feedback. Apologies.
That's okay. So we met with IoT last week, and these were takeaways from them. So most of them prefer to have elementary school have specials in the morning and in the afternoon. Middle school to have specials in the morning, then in the afternoon, the elementary. And then most of the IoT, they feel like we should have collaborative planning time. And I think this has been discussed prior, like also teacher voiced this, which is very important to have collaborative time to plan for instruction. Then SPED scheduling focused on skills blocks that can incorporate multi grades. So the special teachers, instead of pulling just like from one grade, whether they can pull all the students who need the same skills, and then they service them that way. They also voiced a need to have intentional planning.
I'm sorry, Esther, will you explain what you just said, please? I don't understand how that would work.
For SPED?
Just the pulling of students.
So we have like special ed schedule for them, and each one of them, they pull, like, for example, they go to fourth grade and they can pull students from math. So they can pull from Michelle, and then they have to come back and pull from Sandor's classroom. So looking, if the students had a plan whereby they need like math content, is there a way they can pull like from the same grade level, but combine those students if the caseload is not, I might be wrong on that. That's what.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then intentional planning time between homeroom and intervention. So that is something which was voiced, that we want, if their intervention, we have to have a purposeful planning between the classroom teacher and the intervention teacher, so that they are in the same page and they're moving the students towards the right direction or what the students need. Then there is a strong support for breakfast in the classroom. I think that has been discussed in the prior slide. And then continued emphasis on social emotional work in morning meeting and advisement. I think also it was touched in the prior slide. And then support for standard dismissal time and the lower grades or the first grades or kindergarten. Do we have any questions?
I do. I have a question about the strong support for breakfast. Do you mean based on the survey, what teachers want?
Can you ask that again, Corey?
What do you mean by strong support? Can you hear me?
Yeah, so the IoT, the IoT suggested that whether we can have like breakfast in the classroom as we have had before, like this year, what we are doing.
Is this coming from that a committee or from the teachers? That's what I want to know.
I think we discussed what we took away from the teachers. Now this is IoT takeaway.
Mm. I think that, you know, this year the breakfast in the classroom worked very well, because the buses were all came at one time and they were on time, you know. But other years, you know, I haven't been here that many years, but other years I've been here in the morning, the buses, you know, especially if we're the last group of buses, they're going to start coming in at all kinds of times. There's going to be a lot, you know, if there's two other runs before us, there's going to be delays. And so then breakfast in the classroom becomes, you know, a distraction as kids are coming in late, trying to get a breakfast. You know, it's something to think about. You know, it's, I think a lot of this depends on making sure transportation gets here on time and picks kids up on time. You know, 2 years prior to this one, my observations were that the buses were not reliable.
And I want to add to that, that's why I ask if this came from teachers. I haven't talked about this with my first grade level team, haven't talked about this with any other teachers, but from my own perspective, it's not my preference, because it's taking away my planning time, setting up my mind to do my teaching, into cleaning and following up with all other activities that I mean, we have to do it this year, but it's not my preference. So I don't know what other teachers think.
But wasn't it 2 years ago, breakfast in the classroom was like built in the schedule? This year, it was just like buses arrive, you get your breakfast, you go to the classroom. Whereas like 2 years ago, it was breakfast in the classroom. Well, kids who didn't want to have breakfast, they just came late. And so we had all kinds of people hanging out in the hallways. I like breakfast in the classroom this year because it got the kids out of the hallways into the classroom where they could, you know, get focused, relax, calm down, get ready for the day. But I think 2 years ago we had breakfast in the classroom. Or was it 3 years ago? I can't remember.
And but that was only for the middle school, like right?
The first 20 minutes of the day was breakfast in the classroom, but many students just use that as an excuse to get dropped off later. So, you know, if we're doing breakfast in the classroom, think about how we are doing that, like the model that we have today. So like if the school day begins at 9:10, the buses need to be dropping them off at 8:50, 8:55. They can't come at 9:05. They can't come at 9:10 because then breakfast in the classroom just disrupts that first period. And if we go to a 6-period block, then that's lost instructional time. And, you know, that first period just gets blown up sometime. So, you know, and transportation needs to know they need to get here on time, you know, because a lot of other things depend on it.
Yeah, and I agree. This is all predicated on our kids coming into the building at the same time. This year, our buses do arrive at different times. We've just asked the bus drivers to hold on to them until a certain time, and then they're all released at the same time and come in, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, if we go down that road, we're going to be pushing transportation really hard to either all arrive on time, or if they arrive, you know, early, to hold on to their kids like they have this year. And then they've at times arrived late this year, and we've just given kids breakfast in the hall when they get to the office and send them to class. But, you know, these are some of the things we need to consider. It's really, we didn't explicitly ask, if I remember correctly, we didn't explicitly ask about this in the teacher survey. It just came through in some of the open-ended responses that we received. And then we engaged ILT around it, and they showed their support as well. So just to answer your question, Carmen, just in terms of how the conversation went. But the focus, to tie back to, you know, just our, what we value or what we want to prioritize, we want to prioritize, in my mind, getting off to a calm, focused start for the day and avoiding the congregating in the halls or, you know, having to yell at kids to get to class on time. And, you know, those are just not great ways to start the day. And we've experienced this year that, you know, having kids go to their classroom, eat there in a more calm manner, and especially for our older kids, is a more beneficial way to start today. So that's just where the thinking.
In the spirit of starting the day and ending the day in a calm space, Esther and Ryan, I don't know if it's in our conversations, and this might be a question for Linwood too, but if we're going to be interested in a PBIS type deal for behavior and social emotional supports, I know a lot of schools do check-in, check-out systems at the beginning and end of the day. So if that is something we're looking to do for students that need those tier two or tier three supports, I don't know if looking at staffing, if there would be any availability to give a certain number of staff 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of the day and end of the day to check-in, check-out really. So again, that might be a question in that path.
David, thanks for the suggestion. I mean, those are some of the, I think, additional things we'll have to consider what they look like wherever we land. I do want to be mindful of time. We're 2 minutes past. I also don't want to cut the conversation short. We are going to, I'd like to meet again as a committee in 2 weeks. And so Ryan, if you want to take us to the next slide, this is what we'd like for you guys to help us with and get feedback on to help inform where we go from here. First one would be, and we just like your answer right now. Would you guys prefer that we work on two schedules to vote on next time we meet? Gives us 2 weeks to start playing Tetris here, or one schedule to just come with and get feedback on?
Would this be a block and a traditional, or two different types of block schedule, two different traditional schedules? And what are these two schedules going to, how would they be different?
you know, I think that that's a big, that's obviously a big one, as evidenced by our conversation. You know, and I don't know, I'm learning about middle school. It seems like, you know, I just heard some great values driven reasons why block schedule is not ideal. And that's the kind of conversation I appreciate. Haven't necessarily gotten to hear the same from, you know, from the other side of the coin or the people that are in favor of it. But I guess I'd let Ryan speak to that as the middle school person, the one who's going to craft these. It was more just, I think, around some of these other things that were places where we have some wiggle room. Ryan, you know, what are your thoughts around that block schedule piece? I mean, if it was 50-50 anyways, and then, you know, we've heard some good reasons, then maybe we would craft two schedules that are not block schedules, that where the feedback is around some of these other things.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the other side of that is Esther and I haven't gotten to the Tetris side of it yet. We have a plan to meet early next week and hash some things out. And so ultimately, you know, there's logistical issues that it's possible that a block schedule does not overlay with elementary when we're not COVID restricted. And I think for some of the things that were named in the meeting today, you know, what would you like to see? You know, Esther and I can create a lot of scenarios. I think what we were thinking about with feedback would you as a group prefer that we come back with what we think is, I guess, the most ideal schedule that we can create, and then we tweak and refine from there based on SLT feedback? Or would you prefer kind of two general schedules that we work on, and we would present the pros and cons of each one and let you go up for a vote? That was kind of where Esther and I were thinking, because it dictates how we go about our business.
But you know, if we have a 6-period day, are there different permutations? Like, is it possible to fit in a homeroom time, or a shorter, you know, are there ways to tweak it? Or, you know, if we have a 6-period day, well, now just because in terms of all the other minutes that are taken up in the day, we've got to have 55-minute classes throughout the day. We can't squeeze in another 20-minute class here or something like that. You know, I was thinking if there are variations on the 6-period day, those would be worth looking at.
Yeah.
You know, from what I'm hearing from this meeting, you know, talking to people, there are people who had good arguments for a block schedule. But, you know, hearing about, you know, the needs of the specialists and just, you know, having equity for the ELD kids and being able to access specials seems like a 6-period day is kind of where we have to go. But are there permutations that we can, you know, different combinations that we could do with a 6-period day that might add some interest?
Can I just throw something out there in the interest of time? And I'm sorry to interrupt this. Just as an observation, if the staff has said traditional schedule over block schedule, I'm not sure why we have block schedule as one of the offerings. And I get the logistics comment, Ryan, but we've never had one before and we have less students. So I guess I don't understand that piece of it. And secondarily, are we bringing two schedules and voting on one or the other? Because if we don't like either, I believe it should be an up or down vote. So meaning if we prefer one over the other, we still should vote up or down on that particular schedule. Because given some of these scenarios and some of these different concerns, I think it would be justify an up or down vote regardless. So if you bring one schedule, it should get an up or down vote.
Yeah. Mike, I would just say this thought came from like wanting to do an iterative feedback-based process. And so ultimately, we do want to land on a schedule that everyone feels good about and not kind of either or type of thing. We can scrap that. I mean, I feel like it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, if it was kind of 50-50 for block versus non-block, and the specials and special education teachers necessarily didn't have as much voice, I'm comfortable moving away from that, just because, as evidenced by this conversation. And then what we can do is we can go down the 6-period schedule road. And then in the name of efficiency, we can come with one schedule and then start to address all these other things that we're working on through that process to land there. We were just trying to get feedback from you guys on, you know, how do we make sure that we're being iterative here, we're going through a process, we're getting feedback, and we're refining.
Yeah, I just wanted to be clear on the either or versus the up or down.
No, it's not either or, but if you guys are comfortable with it, you know, we can just take a crack at one that is not block, and then start to just, you know, take a crack at these other things and then meet again and go from there and get the feedback and refine.
And can I just add something? I'm sorry. We've done this for many years, and I just like to point out an observation. On one of the slides, it says people's wishes for when they have specials. And I just want to illuminate a perspective. We are the specials teachers. So instruction is paramount to us, regardless of who has a certain opinion about our content areas. And subjectivity is there. I understand that. At the same time, I hope when people think about it and you're talking to other teachers about this, please honor the fact that we're talking about our instruction time when we're talking about others' wishes to be able to either plan or take their time away from students to be able to improve their instruction when they're in front of students. And I just want to name it a little bit, because I think sometimes we start to put the pieces together, as Ryan was talking about, and that needs to happen. We forget that at the end of the day, our role in the schedule beyond our content is that we sort of touch them all and we affect them all. And we don't always do it in ways that we want to do with our content. But as far as how the schedule affects each individual grade level and different contents and the different needs of the entire school. So I just want to name it a little bit and throw it out there, food for thought for people to think about as they, as Ryan and admin comes up with a schedule that we can chew on, for lack of a better term, and figure out as we look at where specials is plugged in and then where we end up getting our time to plan our content for instruction as well. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's point well taken. That was just put up there to as an illustration or example of that not everyone's going to get what, you know, if everyone's asking for the same thing, somebody's not going to get it. So, you know, that's really where that bullet point. But, and again, you know, apologies we're running late, but this is important and needed conversation. We'd also like for you guys to get feedback from your groups on the rest of these bullet points. Thoughts around breakfast in the classroom. Do we want to return to lockers? Yes or no? There have been some nice things about not having lockers this year. Thoughts around, like we already talked about, just what do we want to see during the ELD block for elementary school? Which grades should we consider continuing lunch in the classroom with? We've kind of answered that next one for us already. And then, you know, thoughts around how we want to schedule the time in the morning for our every other week intermittent early release days. That I do want to caution, I had a conversation today and I'm definitely stressed that they owe us this one, but that has not been approved yet. I sure as heck hope it is. So we want to get feedback around, you know, how is that time going to be meaningful for kids and avoid some of the struggles of the past. So yeah, we can give you guys access. Ryan, would you mind just dropping a link for this in the chat since I'm recording? And then I got to check the calendar, but I'd love to just, if you guys could just shoot for meeting again as a committee 2 weeks from now, so we can revisit these things. We can share with you what you've got. I think we're, like I said, we're just going to take a crack at one schedule that addresses some of these things and then kind of refine and vote from. And so we'll meet again in 2 weeks and keep the process and conversation going. So if that all sounds good, we did have another, we will talk in May about uniform and dress code, but obviously we didn't get to that today. This is obviously our most pressing need and you know, something that we want to make sure we're getting ahead of, being able to land in a solid place in the month of May. So we all can head into the summertime not having to worry about what this might look like. And in any event, you know, I appreciate your guys' involvement in this. And I know that this has been a, you know, a tricky thing in the past, and we want to work to to, you know, move away from that. And I'm certainly learning that at a K-8 school, the game of Tetris actually has some pieces that I've never seen before. So, so it's not easy, but, you know, we want to, you know, do as best we can to have it be, like I said, a values driven, conversation ultimately with respect to where we land. So we'll capture, whatever's in the chat and take that as feedback as well. And then, start planning and loop back with you guys.
So we decided, so Ryan and Esther, are you just going to like come up with your best shot at the at one schedule, and then we can start discussing that? Is that what we decide we're going to do?
I believe so. If everyone is everyone in favor of that. Okay. Thank you. Well, thanks you guys. Like I said, we'll go from here, and maybe by the next time we meet, I'll have final confirmation on the early release, because that those conversations are happening now. Again, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys. Have a good night.
Bye. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
See everyone.
All right. Let's make sure we get the comments from the chat. And then,
yeah, they were suggesting whether we can have meeting maybe for next week.
I'll go as late as you guys want. I know that people, not everyone likes to go late, but you know, we'll keep talking until we, land somewhere. So problem, Carmen, is I've gotten feedback, you know, there are people that say you need to stick to the time and don't go too long. So, you know, some people are cool with the extra conversation. Some people would rather not, but.
Little bit, because in the past, the meetings would go all the way to 7:30 p.m.
We don't want that.
And it was just going around and around. Every came to any conclusions, but it was extremely tiring. But this time of the year, these conversations are so.
Yeah. Well, and we need to put in the time to figure this all out. So.
Okay.
That's what we'll do.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. You too.